Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and happy Sunday, and welcome to the talk show version of What is Etiquette Anyway? I'm Donna Paige Riley, your host, also known as the Etiquette Lady, and we also have
Denise Harding. I am the co-host, known as the HR Lady.
And we hope you are having a wonderful weekend, and thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule this evening to listen to the show. We want to start out by giving you our call-in number, which is 347-324-3295. Once again, 347-324-3295. And if you would prefer, you can feel free to email us at info@pagesetiquette.com. Again, that's info@pagesetiquette.com. It is a wonderful day here in Atlanta. It's been a great weekend, and I hope wherever you all are that you've had a great weekend as well. Now, I'm also the owner of Pages Etiquette Seminars, which is a company that specializes in personal and professional development training, and the author of the What is Etiquette Anyway book series. What is Etiquette Anyway is the book for children, but grown-ups can read it too. And some of the content in that particular book includes personal hygiene and grooming, how to write invitations, thank you notes and letters, just overall being polite as well. Also, What is Executive Etiquette Anyway? And that is a book about how to basically try to make sure that you have key ingredients for building successful working relationships. And since we all work, it will be a great idea to know different tips on how to work together. Basically, you know, it talks about who has time to be courteous, and a lot of times, we are so busy planning projects and so on and so forth. We think we don't have time, but we really do. We have to take time to be courteous on a daily basis. Talks about meetings. Can business meals make or break the deal? Those are just some of the chapters from that particular book. Well, we are so excited again that you have joined us. We're excited about the topic. We're going to be talking about school etiquette. And, of course, Denise, in I think the major southeastern part of the country, I believe school has been back in some areas a week, maybe some areas 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And within the next couple of weeks after Labor Day, everybody in the country should be back to school. So we want to try to get some ideas of what are some of the things that have actually happened for those who have gone back to school or gone back into the classroom. We want to find out what's going on, and we just basically want to discuss some tips on how to ensure a polite school year. Now, how about that? So we're going to talk about exactly, you know, what can be done to make sure that children are polite and respectful, and, you know, we want to open the lines up to teachers, parents, students, just to talk about this. Now, I know I usually, for the new listeners, I always like to go over what etiquette is. And basically, etiquette comes from a French word meaning ticket. And Charles I and II of England copied the rules of etiquette from the French court. Therefore, these rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. So I always say that if you have good etiquette, then you have the ticket to society. And of course, everyone would love to have the ticket to society. Well, once again, welcome to the school etiquette version. And I would like to go ahead and bring on our first caller. We have a teacher on the line with us, and we just want to kind of get started with this back to school. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Tamara?
Hello. Yes.
Hi, how are you?
I am doing well. How is it going?
Oh, it's going well. Thank you so much for want to welcome you to What is Etiquette Anyway, and if you would just say hello to Denise.
Hello, Denise. How are you?
Hi. How are you today? And tell us what's on your mind.
I'm sorry?
And tell us what's on your mind today.
Well, as we get back to school, one of the things that we need to make sure that we focus on, most school districts have a school code of student conduct, and that is something that parents generally in the first week of school have to sign so that we kind of develop a common language for what the rules, the do's and the don'ts are district-wide, because we do have a lot of mobility throughout a school district. And if we have the same rules for global rules for how we are going to function and interact, it makes life a little easier. And if parents would actually read those and not just sign that they have read and sent it in, because generally teachers will offer extra credit or, you know, 100 points, or make it an actual assignment so that they can earn a grade for bringing it back signed. And there is a protocol as to why we ask parents to do that. But if parents would make sure that they read that document and understand everything in it, it kind of would help us to prevent some of the problems that we encounter where etiquette and manners are concerned. The second thing is most schools have a school-wide discipline plan, and those plans are put in place to kind of focus the district student code of conduct to this particular building. This is how we're going to do it in this building, and when we can't control or govern the situation in the building, then we're going to extend to the district to assist us. And then the last level of that is where the classroom teacher would have a classroom management system within his or her classroom, and that system would even further structure what the expectations are for the students in the classroom, between activities, between classes and common areas, and things of that nature. And it falls under the guidelines of the school-wide discipline plan, which is also aligned to the district student code of conduct. So we kind of have a three-tier layer in most school districts to govern how we expect children to behave and handle themselves according to the expectations of the district.
Excellent. Excellent information. And I want to just kind of back up on something that you said about the parent. Oftentimes they sign these, you know, sign paperwork without really reading it, just because they know that the student has to return it at a certain time. Let's talk about that for a minute, because, you know, I mean, I know parents are busy and, you know, just doing so many different things, but it is imperative, especially when you're talking about any type of a code of conduct, because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe that on some of those, the student has to sign as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct.
The teacher, right. So we want to, in my opinion, what I would do and what I would do as a parent, what I did as a parent, we would sit down and we would read this together, because we knew that we had to put both of our signatures on there. And what I used to do with my child is we would talk about it, and then, you know, I wanted to make sure that he didn't have any questions about it. So I thought that was an excellent point, that we just can't be signing things just to, you know, to sign it, to take it back, because we know that, you know, there's an incentive to get it back on time, so on and so forth.
One of the options that I offer my parents is, if you want to take, you know, so that you can take the time to thoroughly go through it, because it is a lengthy document. And a lot of parents have mannerable children and just assume, my child won't get caught up. We won't have that issue. But the thing that I offer my parents in my course syllabus that I send is, if they send me a letter that they are perusing the document with their student, I'll go ahead and give the student the credit. But that means that now I'm going to make a telephone call so that I can answer any questions, because usually those are my more, not necessarily affluent, but parents who are very active in their students' education, and those are the parents who I can depend on to come in and assist me, to go with us on a field trip or out of the city if we're doing something. So those are the parents that I kind of grasp hold of.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing as an educator is to give parents some options and kind of provide an incentive for them to actually spend the time,
mm-hmm.
because it does take time, and so many of us have very, very busy lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And just to piggyback off of that, I wanted to ask you, how important is the relationship between the parent and the teacher?
Without that relationship, the child kind of falter. You know, I am a parent of three and have a daughter who is in college now, just graduated from school. And in high school, I don't want to say it was harder to do, but from her perspective, she wanted to be the one to make her decisions, to have conversations and build those relationships with her teachers. So I only came in when she was not able to, as, you know, a young adult, handle the situation. But for my younger children, I email back and forth with their teachers on a weekly basis. You know, that bond keeps, one, it kind of breaks down the parable or the stage that the teacher is automatically put on of, you know, just being better than because they're educated. You know, a lot of students and parents depend on the schools so much that they honor everything that they say. And, you know, they just feel like they are the specialist. And in a lot of instances, they are. But as a parent, I want the teacher to know that, you know, this is a joint effort for us.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to send things that is going to take my time as well. So I try to bridge that gap very early so that we can develop a line of communication. So should something happen and something can't come back on time, I already have a relationship. The problem that I find as an educator is that a lot of the parents in the Title I schools have 2 and 3 jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the children spend a lot of time with most of the time with us, and then a lot of time at home with extended families or neighbors or things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to discredit the parent at all, because in this day and age, we all have to do what we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do professional development to bring in extra money, so we all do pick up those extra jobs. But
mm-hmm.
because of the household needs and, you know, those lower pyramid of the hierarchy needing to be met, then the education of the students is assumed and given over to the teacher. And that's the message that we have to, you know, that's the problem or situation that we have to cater to so that we can prevent that from happening so often, especially in our lower income schools. Because in our affluent schools, you know, one of the parents may not be working, so they are the parent that spends a lot of time in the school bridging that gap and building that bridge, so to speak, between the home and the school. But when the family is not able to have that happen, then we need to find some different ways to assist parents with getting involved. And it's an ongoing battle for a lot of schools and school districts across the nation.
And just on that note, it's probably about 10 or 11 years ago, I wrote an article, and it was titled, "Whose Job Is It to Teach Children Manners?" And it was really interesting to find that so many parents, they responded by saying the school. And the reason that they said that is because something that you just said, and I never thought about it in this area, you know, I guess kind of the looking at the division of the parents. But a lot of them said they felt it was the schools because that's where the children were, you know, the majority
most
of the
time.
Most
of the time.
Exactly. Now, however, and of course, you know, in interviewing and polling administrators and teachers, and, you know, they all said it should start at home, which it really should start at home. And as I began teaching parent workshops, I could not understand, or I guess I just couldn't, you know, quite grasp why parents were saying it was the teacher's job until it kind of came full circle and, you know, a lot of the parents just weren't home. Plus, you know, I also discovered it's very difficult to teach something that you haven't learned. And so I also understand that parents nowadays, you know, are younger and younger, and and they just don't know. So what you were talking about as far as the communication being very important, and email, pretty much everybody has a PC nowadays. And so parents out there do know that if you cannot get up to the school, then, you know, all the schools now are online. All their, they have websites, and you can email the teachers. And I'm glad, Ms. Tierma, that you did say that, because, you know, some parents may feel, and just like you were saying, they could be working, you know, two or three jobs and they just can't do it, and they just feel like there's nothing they can do at all. But that, you know, communication is paramount, you know, when you're talking about your child. And I have to back up and apologize to you. I was so excited. I've been looking so forward to getting you on, but I forgot to ask, you know, to ask you to tell us who you are and where you're calling from. We just kind of dove right in.
I am Tamara Watts. I am an educator of 15 years. I did 11 of my years in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in the Broward County public system, and have been in DeKalb County public school system for, this is my fifth year. I was a classroom teacher, have done some administration. My master's level education is in exceptional student education, so that's kind of like my baby. But with my ed specialist in administration, educational leadership, I am leading into that field to see how to make change in the schools from a different perspective outside of the classroom and administrating. So right now I am at Columbia Middle School, and I am an administrative intern through the Alpha Cohort Leadership Program in DeKalb County Public Schools.
Wow. Thank you so much. Let me thank you. Our callers, I am so sorry. Please hold on. Our switchboard is totally lit up, Ms. Watts, but thank you so much for such wonderful insight. And, you know, you kind of made sure that it was full. I mean, there was just a full spectrum from the parent, you know, the student. And I just thank you so much. Would you please be a guest on our show again coming up?
Sure, that is no problem.
Would love
no problem at all. I would like to make one other point, especially if there's educators listening. And I know that school districts provide cell phones for principals, but not necessarily for assistant principals and teachers. But one plea that I would like to make to the classroom teacher, which I learned about 13 years ago, is when I would go to the home or to the baseball field or at the grocery store and hold that conference in the grocery store, leaving that child's dignity intact before we parted, I started to give my cell phone number. And I know a lot of people have different emotions, but to our educators, let me express this sincerely to you. When you provide that, that removes you off the pedestal that the parent and the student put you on. And it makes the parent more comfortable because they see us as a professional entity and they're a private entity, and they do not see themselves as equal in the lower socioeconomic schools. So what my plea is to educators is, I know you pay for those phones. I know the districts do not provide you compensation for, but if you would just try giving your cell phone number to a couple of parents that you are having some issues with their child, and so that they can call you and you can provide that line of communication, I promise you that half of your issues with that child will decease, because that child will know that mom can contact you in the evening at the drop of a dime, and you can contact mom in the evening at the drop of a dime, and it will just make life a little bit easier. Little costly, but it will make life a little easier in the classroom, and that's where we want to gain our ground, in the classroom.
Excellent.
Very well put.
Thank you so much again. And on behalf of, you know, other parents and students and other educators, I want to thank you so much for what you're doing in the school system. you know, the children are certainly are being blessed by what it is that you're doing, and I take my hat off to you, and I'm sure, you know, others out there listening do the same. I thank you so much. I thank you for your passion. I thank you for your genuineness. And once again, I cannot thank you enough. Thank you so much.
I really appreciate it. It has been my pleasure, and I will do a much better job to be involved much more often. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Good night.
Have a good evening.
You too. Thank you. Wow.
Wow.
I mean,
great, Donna.
That was just phenomenal.
Excellent. Mm-hmm.
I just thank her so much. That is just, it's such an incentive, you know, to other, I'm sure she's an incentive to other educators as well and parents.
Absolutely.
And callers, I am so sorry that you all have been holding on, but it was just such great information. I want to bring on now, let's see, Andrea, are you there?
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Hi, Andrea. Last week, for those of you out there, Andrea DeJesus from Cleveland, Ohio, called in with several pet peeves and concerns regarding some of her fellow classmates. Now, she made such great comments that we invited her to come back on the show today as our guest student host. And what I wanted to say, it's just so ironic that most of her pet peeves had to do with her being in college. And she had shared some things with us last week about, you know, making sure that her study, you know, she was having a problem when people were asking questions that the teacher had already talked about. But welcome back, Andrew. I'm so glad that you could come back on. How are you?
I'm well. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Just wanted to bring you on and get some additional comments from you. And first of all, I hope you're doing well.
I am. Thank you.
Great. What comments do you have for us this evening?
That instructor was phenomenal, and I actually had a question for you based on what she had said in middle school. I have a sibling with a disability,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of younger children aren't exposed to that at home, or, you know, if they're not, they don't have a disability or don't know anyone with a disability, they kind of look at it as a more of a handicap instead of a learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
Where would those manners, if they see it at school but never seen it at home,
sure.
how will they learn those proper manners to treat someone with the respect regardless of how different they are?
Certainly. That is an excellent question. And to my knowledge, I don't think that, you know, this is taught in school, but I don't know. In just, you know, the regular public schools, I don't know. That would probably have been a great question to ask Ms. Watts. But what I did years ago is I did some research, and I actually wrote an article. And oftentimes when people seem to encounter people that are either physically challenged, they want to help them. And all the time they don't need the help. You know, you know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
I think if I understand correctly, that's one of the things that you're talking about. Oh, let me do that for you. And it's like, you know, well, I can do this actually myself. So
mm-hmm.
I'm just not quite sure. I will check on that to see if that is, you know, being taught. Or if not, that would certainly be something great. Because, you know, when you don't encounter quite naturally, you don't know what to expect, so you don't know what to say. And oftentimes when people don't know what to say or how to respond, they usually either say nothing or they say the wrong thing because they don't
right.
know, you know. So that's right. an excellent question, and I certainly will I'll research that as well. And, Andrew, I'm going to also see if I can pull someone else. I know we've had some callers holding a long time. Hello, caller, can you hear me? Hello?
Hello?
Hi. Caller, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi. You're on What is Etiquette Anyway with Donna Paige Riley and with Denise and with our other student guest host, Andrea. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Doing
thank
fine.
You. Everybody doing okay? Everybody still there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, what is your comment for this evening? We're talking about school etiquette or, you know, whatever you would like to talk about.
I actually have a 10-year-old. I was just wondering how I can make her or get her wanting to study and learn.
just kind of encourage to be able to encourage her.
Yeah, because she doesn't want to, you know, do her schoolwork. She doesn't want to do homework. She doesn't want to go to school, and she's only 10.
Okay, okay. Now, has this just started, like, this school year, or just kind of she's not really interested? And then I kind of want to know about maybe her relationship with the teacher, just trying to get a feel.
You know, it started last year.
Mm-hmm.
And since this school year is starting, I wanted to, you know, to go at it, you know, fresh and
sure.
You're going.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Let me ask you this. Generally, do you have a relationship with the teacher, with her teacher?
Last year I didn't have a good one with her, no.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But she's going to a new school this year, so I'm hoping it's better.
Sure, you'll have an opportunity to start out fresh. And oftentimes if your child knows that you have a relationship with the teacher, then
mm-hmm.
they're going to be more conscious of making sure that, you know, if they don't do their assignment, they know that you're going to know because you're communicating with the teacher. And kind of similar to what Ms. I don't know how long you've been listening to the show, but Ms. Watts had mentioned some of those things about communicating as well. But I think this is a great opportunity. You said she's going to a new school for a nice, fresh start. And it would be great for the three of you to be able to sit down. And I know generally when school begins, they have the teacher, the parent-teacher-student night, I believe they call it, and just kind of make sure that you can create that relationship with the teacher and to know that it is, you know, it's three different components, is you, the teacher, and your child/student. And just give her incentives as well. You know, making sure that, you know, so if you can determine which class, you know, she may have one class that she may not like, or, you know, she may not like science, but she likes English and that
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. So the classes that she does like, you know, of course you'll know that she'll be more interested in Excel, but trying to make sure that you give her incentives for the classes that she may not like as well, that may be a little more challenging for her. But I really think the major goal is to make sure that you all have a good, sound relationship, you know, with a teacher.
Well, you know, it's mostly with homework
mm-hmm.
where it will come home and it's like, please, can I just do it later?
Sure.
And, you know, and then she doesn't want to do it, and then later on it's a fight.
Sure.
I mean,
sure. She would have to come home, have a snack, then do her homework. And, I think you're going to need to try that opposite angle there and let her, you know, have a snack and then, no, you have to do your homework. There's no, you know, it's not up for discussion. You know, this is what you're going to do. You're going to come home, have something wonderful to eat, do your homework, and you're going to get that all knocked out. And if you want to watch something on TV, then you can. You don't have to worry about, oh, I got to do my homework, so I can't watch this show. And and please keep us posted on how this school year starts out. And I cannot believe we are out of time. Oh,
hi, Wally. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling. I didn't get your name or where you're calling from.
I'm Dawn from Cleveland.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Dawn. And callers, I am so sorry. I did not have an opportunity to get everyone on. We're going to continue this on next week. And I apologize, but they say, you know, when you're having fun, what is it, Denise, time flies when you're having fun?
When you're having fun.
I think
fun.
That's it. Yeah.
That's it.
And this has just been, it's been a great show, and I'm hoping that, you know, a lot of the other, you know, students and educators will call. And we're going to go ahead and do a part two. We see that we have to do a part two. Again, we apologize, callers, and we actually had some emails, too, we didn't have an opportunity to get to, but we'll do that next week. As we do each week, just want to thank you again for spending part of your Sunday evening with us, and I want to encourage you to just continue to feel good about yourself, be considerate of others, and just to be the best you can be. And remember to treat others the way you want to be treated. That's the golden rule. The golden rule is actually the first rule of etiquette. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Part two will be coming up on next Sunday. For those of you that were unable to call in, please call in on next week. Try to call in about 7:25 to secure a line. And have a wonderful week. Those of you that are starting school tomorrow, have a great start to your week. Thank you, and good night, and God bless.
Good night.